Good morning. Are there any parish notices to come forth before the congregation this morning?
If I may, just real quick, Dave, and thank you, Brother Dave. If I may send a thank you up to Tim and to Derek, who have already resolved a technical problem that we had. And, you know, as we were sharing, it's always better to have a good organist, but at least those CDs are better than a bad organist. They are exactly what's in the hymn book. And so you kind of watch for direction today. I'm talking to somebody that might be director, but we may have a lead on an accompanist. So that's kind of, but a special thanks to the team up here who've already resolved the problem. Special thanks to the Bollinger family for a donation of beautiful CDs. Beautiful, Randy. These are awesome. And we've already used one for the offertory special today. So listen up for that, my Jesus, I love thee. And again, thanks. The last thanks goes to Patty and to Kelsey, who are going to be helping Dave and I with the communion today. Thank you, Dave.
Any other parish notices?
This morning, there was an insert in your bulletins. The day away, road trip. Anyone is welcome to join us for the day, but you must enjoy fellowship. So that's the only criteria for the day of June 18, 2014. And if you look at the time that we're leaving, we're going to leave at 9 a.m. from the parking lot. It's still in the works yet for where we'll be going. And lunch will be determined from that particular place that we'll be going. Tour de Brands is at 1:30, and we'll return to Convoy approximately at 3:30-ish. You know, if a shopping trip happens to with that carload, you know, decides to go on, I can't guarantee you'll be back here at 3:30. So that's just kind of a tentative date, and it's open to anyone in the church, or if you have some friends that would wish to join you for the day. I know in the past years they have been most welcome, so I just want to encourage you and either let myself, Lynn, or Vicki know as to we'll coordinate rides, who's driving.
Thank you, Mary Ann. Anything else to bring forth before the congregation? Let us prepare our hearts for morning worship.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, bear us on the winds of your mercy as we are cast about by the storms of life. Grant us the strength to persevere in times of trial, that we may be glad and shout for joy when Christ's glory is revealed. Keep us safe from our adversaries who are like roaring lions seeking someone to devour in their love of carnage. Restore us, support us, strengthen us, and establish us as your people, Holy One, that we may bear witness to your glorious power through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let the righteous be joyful. Let the faithful sing and shout for joy. Let the righteous be joyful. Let the faithful sing and shout for joy. Let us join together in the opening hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, hymn number 696. Take this time to join together in the passing of the peace.
At this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Good morning, children. Graduates, do you remember being down here? How many of you can remember being up front like this? I remember. It seemed like yesterday. Well, now, we've got a little object lesson for us today. How many of you have ever eaten beef stew? Now, this is really going out on a limb right now, and I shouldn't ask this question. I know better. How many of you like beef stew? Well, we got a taker right here. All right. Well, let's take a look at what we got here in the picture. You ready? What I want you to do is to identify some of the ingredients. There are pictures right there on the front. Let me walk it on down. Got it, guys? Let me come back down here. See Cole? Got her there. All right. And now, who wants to name one of the items, one of the ingredients that you see in the picture there? Who wants to name one? Allison?
Beef.
Beef, I would say, for beef stew. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I heard a clap. What else is in there? There's some vegetables. Can you see them? What are some of the vegetables? Anybody? You want to name one? You want to name one of the vegetables? That's a good one, too. And that's a good one. You want to name it? No, that's okay. That's all right. Anybody want to name one of the vegetables there? You know what, Allison? I may come back to you. Oh, here we go. Okay, tell me one of the vegetables. You ready? Can you name it for me? Can you see one of the vegetables? Do you want to name it? No, that's all right. That's okay. Allison, bail me out here.
Carrots.
Carrots, and hang on, because I may lean on you again. There's one more. Okay, we see the beef, we see the carrots. What's that right there? Can you guess? And maybe you don't know. What was it, sweetie? What is it, Chloe?
Caramel.
You know what? I want you to come make my beef stew. I would like that. I would like that, sweetheart. It does look like caramel. I've got to tell everybody what Chloe sees here. By George, that does look like caramel. It's actually a potato. It's a potato. I would rather have the caramel, would you? Yeah. Well, the point is, all of those ingredients are great by themselves. They're good. They're good, Allison. The beef that you named is good. Allison, the carrot that you named is good. The potato that Chloe and I finally were able to the picture's not very good. But potatoes are good, too. They're all good. But when they come together, oh, see, I love, this is mine. This is one of the meals, by the way, guys, that I can cook. You perforate the top, stick it in the microwave, 1.5 minutes at high. Do cover it, though. I learned that the hard way. But I love beef stew. When all those separate ingredients come together, oh, what a wonderful mixture. Jesus is praying for the church today. He's about to ascend into heaven. In the church calendar, he's about to make the ascension to be with the Father in heaven. But before he does that, he prays for you and me. Graduates, you're in the prayers of Jesus this morning. You're in the best of hands. He prays that, good as we are separately, Dick, that we will all come together in Christ as one body that we call the church. When we do that together in Christ, there's no limit, children, to the good things that we can do in the Lord. Let's go to the Lord now and pray that we be one in Jesus. Thank you, son. Yeah, let's join together. This is a good circle. Very, very good circle. Heavenly Father, this is a good circle. Every boy and every girl in this circle, good, very good. You have made them, and they are good. But Lord, when we come together in you and your Spirit, there's no limit to the good things that we can do in Jesus through his church. So we accept your prayer, Lord. We invite you into our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Give us the power and the strength that we need to accomplish those great, great missions that you have for us. In Jesus' name and to his glory we pray. Amen. Now, I talked about coming together. Of course, I've got to give your treats. I'll hand these out right now. But as I'm handing the treats out, something occurred to me coming together in Christ. How about Chloe and Cole? Would you want to? In fact, Bailey, you want to come with them, honey? Do you want to join them today? So Chloe and Cole, do you want to? Or is it just, thanks, Allison. Is it just Chloe? It's just Chloe, brother said. All righty, just a second here. Chloe, I'm going to give you the microphone. Yeah, you picked some good ones there. Y'all doing okay? How's that, Allison? All right. For the sake of our visitors, and I know with graduates here, we've got a lot of family that have traveled to be with us today for this special, very special day. We're about to have the joys and concerns, but what the children are doing right now, they're taking two suckers. One of the suckers they're going to keep, and the other one they're going to give to somebody. What is it, sweetie? There's not a lot of suckers, Chloe says, and she is right. Now, I mean, that young lady is absolutely right. And you know what, Chloe? Shame on Greg. Because look at this, hon. In fact, hang on, because I got a whole bunch of them here. There is no need to be without. See that, Margaret? Shame on me, Chloe. There is no need to be without with resources like this, right? There's no need to be without in the spirit journey with the resources of the kingdom of God. And children of the kingdom have supplied. You okay? Children of the kingdom have supplied these treats for you. All righty. Very, very good, Cole. Well, you may all return to your pews, and Chloe's going to carry the microphone today. Very good, Chloe. Here we go. Do you want that? You want that beef stew to take home? No, I understand, honey. Laura, don't let me forget this. This is my lunch. Now then, Chloe has the microphone. We extend a welcome and hospitality to our guests. There is a visitor's card there in the pew. If you wish, if you elect to fill that out, put your telephone number on there, and in a little while, when the ushers come by to take up the morning offering, just drop the visitor's card in the plate, and they never fail to get that card to me, and we get the call out to you to get you better acquainted. Now, this portion of the service, joys and concerns, that's why Chloe has the mic. Raise your hand. It was a joy. It could be a birthday announcement, a wedding anniversary. It could be a testimony of how Jesus is giving you strength in the journey. You want to lift it up. It could be a concern, and I've got a very urgent concern here in just a moment. Raise your hand. You want to lift someone up in prayer. Joys or concerns. Raise the hands high so Chloe can bring you the microphone. Raise your hands high so she can see you. Say it again.
After several months of hard work, my mom has earned the preschool a 5-star grant. And she literally had to do probably 3 months of preparation and then submit everything and then revisions and then preparation and then revisions for about 3 months straight. And then she had to do a 2-hour interview and finally got the 5-star grant, which means she gets to get the preschool a whiteboard for the kids and a bunch of other stuff that she's already looking at.
Daughter,
and
is
she's
that
the,
something
and
awesome?
She's the first one in this region of Ohio that has a 5-star. A bunch of other preschools applied. She's the only one that has gotten it so far.
Raise the cheer again. You hear that? I am in no way surprised by that, Sagan. In no way surprised. And now just for fun, now I don't know whether these graduates were in the preschool, or raise your hand if you were, and if not, I'm not going to embarrass just you. I'm going to embarrass everybody. Everyone who was in the preschool here at the church, raise your hand. How many of you went through the preschool program here? Awesome, awesome. Raise the cheer again. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful, wonderful. Yes, indeed. What resources in the kingdom? Any other joys or concerns? Chloe's doing a great job, isn't she, Shiv? Isn't she doing great back there? Roger, I will tell you, she's a keeper, isn't she?
I think we all should give a big shout out to the boys' baseball team.
Give the cheer. Yes, indeed, Bob. Thank you, Bob. Other joys or concerns? Joys or concerns?
Mallory is turning 17 on Wednesday, I think. Yeah, Wednesday.
Very good, Sydney. Thank you, Sydney. Any other hands going up? Got Brad up here. Brad up here. Boy, Chloe, I tell you, is it just me, Roger? Or Deb, has she grown? Vicky, I think she's grown. She's getting tall.
Not only Friday night did the boys, but the track had state qualifiers as well. The 4x1 team in the boys, the 4x4 in the boys, and then it had a solo in the 3200 qualify for state as well.
Absolutely awesome. My goodness. Tyson, it just goes on and on here. What a community of gifted athletes, tremendous athletes. Any other joys or concerns? I do have a concern. In fact, I have. Yes, Randy. Yeah, yes. And she'll bring it to you.
Let's not forget the team to the north, too. The Wayne Trace girls softball team is going on to finals.
Raise the cheer. Any other joys or concerns? Well, let's give a thanksgiving to the Lord for Chloe. What a wonderful servant, wonderful disciple. Thank you, young lady. Thank you very much. Sure you don't want that stew? Let us turn to the Lord now in silent prayer. Heavenly Father, along with the graduates this morning, teach us once more that we are yours, that you are ours. Remind us again that eternal life comes from knowing you and being known by you, Lord God. We know you are always faithful. We know that you are with Diane Clemens this morning at the hospital, who has been between this world and the next, Heavenly Father. I thank you for her faith. I thank you for Ron's faith, for all the family. And we pray, Lord, that she continue to heal. We love her dearly. We find in her again so many skills that bless this church. But above all things, we leave her in your hands, your faithful hands, as we entrust ourselves to those same loving hands. Deepen our faith, Lord, as we lift up from our hearts the prayer that Jesus has invited us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before we turn to this next hymn, the selection, of course it repeats twice, my blessed wife had to counsel me that there at the very bottom of the page, the first measure, you'll see the little icon, the semicircle with the dot. That is notation, that's directional notation for an organist, a song leader, a congregation. You have creative license there that you hold that note for expression. And I know Nashville, I grew up just north of Nashville, and that was pretty much the center of United Methodism. Cokesbury is centered there. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit, Dick, if this organist who recorded this is from Nashville. So be prepared. We're going to hold that note for Want No More. Listen to the introduction, because it's right there. Let us stand together for Fill My Cup, Lord. Please be seated. I'm going to invite Gene Leary to come forward this time. This is a moment I know we've all been waiting for. Are you ready for this? At this point in the worship service, we're going to have a special recognition of our 2014 graduates. Greg's looking for the mic. Here it is. Here it is, Gene. Thank you, friend.
If I could have the graduates come up so I'm not up here by myself. This is a privilege for me today. I've been with these two for a while now. We've had some adventures together. I'm just going to talk about them a little bit. I know Tyson, I'm trying to think of the thing. As anybody seen the dinner theater knows, that his acting abilities are great. A surprise to me, actually. I didn't know he had it in him, but he was very good for me there. The thing I remember about Tyson, I think, is in one of our youth group sessions, I had challenged all the kids, turn off some of the music you're listening to, just, one day a week, maybe even an hour, and turn it to a Christian channel. Well, Tyson decided to take that one step a little further, and I heard that in wrestling at school, he made them switch to the Christian channel, so the whole entire weightlifting. And anyway, so he had the whole entire class listening to contemporary Christian music during weightlifting, so I thought that was pretty awesome. And I think we know that he's a polished interviewer from basketball this year at state tournaments. I thought he held up the Convoy Methodist end well when he was out there representing us. I am going to miss him. I think he has a lot going for him, as they both do, and I'm going to miss him when they're not around all the time. Riley, and both of them, I think, have been to my house various times, so I've got to see them all the way there. Riley, she has been my, both of them have been my leaf rakers. They were very good at that. She's been my cookie jar, put her together, I don't know. She's always there for that for me. They've both always been here on, Easter morning when nobody wants to get up at 7 a.m. They haven't let me down yet and made me perform on my own. Riley, I've seen her at school in different things. I think one of the things that I admire that I see that she does is she's in night vision. You have been all 4 years, right? I think you've gotten performer of the competition before. She's a very good performer. I always like to watch her. And as I said, I'm going to miss them both very much. And I wish you luck on your journey and take all your talents. And a piece of advice I could give you, it would be, if you do it all to the glory of God, you can never go wrong. So, and as usual, come back anytime. All right? Now the second piece of this is I'm going to have them tell me what their plans are after they graduate next Saturday, right? Okay, Tyson?
I plan on attending Ohio Northern University, majoring in civil engineering and playing basketball.
Excellent.
All right, I wasn't sure about that last one, but congratulations.
Good, Tyson.
And Riley?
I'm going to Otterbein University in Columbus. I'm majoring in allied health and with a focus in pre-physical therapy, and I will be cheerleading.
Wonderful, Riley, wonderful. Thank you, Gene. Thank you. Let's hear it again for him, folks. Thank you, Gene. I can remember graduation. I remember my dad. Roger, my dad. My dad was the speaker. I'll never forget. Otsego High School. I will never forget all the folks who rallied around me. And I loved every second of it. I'll just be honest with you. And they were given all sorts of advice. In fact, probably the most recurring phrase was, "Remember, Greg, the early bird gets the worm." Well, I got something for you to see. I want to thank a buddy of mine who clued me to this. Take a look at this, graduates.
White.
Thank you.
okay.
Yeah. Well, I can't promise that you're always going to be the fastest. I can't promise that you're always going to be first. But I'll tell you what, I can promise that you will never be alone, that you will never be without strength, that you will never be without God. And I can promise you that because that is the promise of the Savior himself. We turn this morning to John, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 11. It is the prayer of Jesus for you graduates, for you, and for us, the church. The prayer of our Lord. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but rather on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word. Jesus prays for us because the world desperately needs what we as the church have to offer, and that which we have to offer is the good news of Jesus Christ, his words, his proclamation, his ministry of forgiveness and reconciliation. You will never be without the prayer of Christ, and you will have power. And ironically, where does the church get its power? But firstly, from the needs of the world. Now let me repeat that. Where do we, the church, get our power? First, from the needs of the world. Now that immediately strikes us as something of a contradiction or a conundrum, but it's a mystery that is true. It is as we are responding to the prayer of Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit, it is as we see the needs of the world and go after those needs, to address those needs, that we find power. You just heard the testimony last week from Brother Dick, from Brother Kevin, from the mission crew again and again. And you've been part of whatever task you've been part of, whether it's far away or right here in the community, you know what they say is true. That as again and again they've said, "We went and we gave this, but we have returned home with so much more." It's in seeing the needs, it's in the dynamic of that relationship, in that dynamic, that there's energy, Tyson Riley, there's energy. We're never more alive than we see the needs of the world and we go to address those needs. Now, you're graduating. I remember graduating from Methesco with my master's in theology. And it wasn't over. there was a journey of ordination that followed that called the Bergamo years. And as part of that journey, as part of that pilgrimage, I had a wonderful district superintendent who was about to retire. And I'm not going to name him, and I'm not going to name the church of which he was speaking. But there was a flagship church in Dayton, Ohio. It, in fact, was one of the first churches in the United States of America to have, Tyson, you're going to be interested in this, Riley, you'll be interested in this, one of the first churches of the U.S. to have a gymnasium. You didn't get the NBA, you didn't get basketball from the schools. Dave, they didn't come from the schools. That practice came from the church. Why? It began in the churches of the United States to answer, to respond to this very prayer of Jesus the Christ of the church, that we might come together. It was a unifying force. And Brother Dave, to be sure, it is today. Tyson, it is today. You were achievers through teamwork, weren't you? You came together, son, as an organism. So that church is to be complimented, one of the first in the United States to have a gymnasium. I've been to that church, and it is the most beautiful, opulent sanctuary I've ever seen. Some of the most breathtaking architecture. But the DS said, here's what happened to that incredible flagship church. At one point in its journey, several members died who were extremely wealthy in the city of Dayton. Of course, Dayton, remember, Sally Jesse Raphael had a neighbor called Phil Donahue, which began that new paradigm of the daily talk show that came from Dayton. Martin Estevez, we know him as Martin Sheen, came from Dayton. It's been a cultural center. Many wealthy members of that particular Methodist church died and left a vast amount of riches to the church that they were able to enjoy, to be able to store up. And here's what happened. They became so wealthy that they no longer needed financially. Now, you know better than that. Spiritually, of course, they needed. But something crept in to the formula. They didn't need financially, and they became complacent. The muscle of that organism atrophied. They could no longer see need for themselves, and tragically, Dick, they could no longer see needs for others. And today, the DS says, it is a hollow shell. It is dead. Because it is a body that no longer sees need. We come alive when we see needs. Some of the greatest activity just recently in this organism called the Body of Christ, this convoy church, took place with the Fort Wayne Rescue Mission. You saw the homeless, and you would not stand by, Linda, when you saw the homeless in Fort Wayne. You went after that need. Praise God. And look at what comes back in that dynamic, in that activity. We're getting ready for the second annual Bike-a-thon. When Dee Stickley Minor came to speak for the conference apportionments, and she is actually supported by what we would call the boring part of the conference apportionments, not the mission part, not the mission dollar section. She supported, she continues in dynamic ministry through the administration section of the conference apportionments. She reawakened us to needs, didn't she, Dave? And this church has risen to that need, and right now, you're beginning to ascend once more as you reclaim your duty to see and address the needs of the conference apportionments. You've never, therefore, been more alive. First and foremost, graduates, we find power in seeing the needs of the world far and near and responding to those needs. Secondly, we as a church receive power in fellowship. Isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? I know that this morning I was so nervous. We had tried everything we could to overcome the glitch. We finally recognized we could do it with a laptop. But it wasn't until I got to talk with Tim. It wasn't until I got to talk with Brother Derek. Derek says, Greg, we'll fix it. We'll handle it. Now, in that triune there, That gave me strength and hope and renewal. I told Dave, I said, I'm no longer sweating. You know, I'm feeling more confident. I was empowered by our fellowship. We find strength in that fellowship. How many of you have ever had a little treat called Corn Nuts? Have you ever seen a product called... Dave, you've seen Corn Nuts? How many of you have ever tasted one of the... Who back there? I'm trying to see. Shelly, is that you? Steve, Corn Nuts? Well, I'm not going to do it with the children. I'm not going to ask you if you like them, because the CEO of the company was a good friend of mine. I was his pastor for several years. Dale Devine was the CEO of the Corn Nuts company, the industry. And I'll tell you, one of the great dividends, one of the perks of being at the West Liberty United Methodist Church was he would give us grocery bags up. Remember, honey? All the different flavors, Steve. And I absolutely, absolutely loved them. But he was a great philanthropy. He and his beloved wife, Nancy, philanthropic power throughout that region of Bell Fountain and Urbana. Great, great disciples of Jesus Christ. At one point, Nancy's emphysema had gotten so bad, and you know they'll tell you, children, they'll say that with emphysema, the analogy is take a straw that you use maybe for a malted milk. Ted, take that straw, breathe through that straw, and only that straw, and then remove the straw and insert a coffee stirrer. One of the challenges for the emphysema patient is to deal with panic. Can you imagine that that's the only air that you can take in? Gail, can you imagine that? You know, I gotta tell you, brother, I can't. Because when I even begin to approach that thought, I panic. Nancy found a way to deal with panic, and she gave me her tearful testimony, and I mean tears of thanksgiving and gratitude. When I called on her at the house, she said, Gregory, you know what I do when I get into that state of panic? They've taught me some tools, some skills. She says, and I'll tell you the one I use. She said, I think of the church. She said, I think of Kate Taylor. Kate Taylor was the senior who taught me that it's okay to have a prayer on the phone. She couldn't drive, and she would call up folks if she heard they were sick. And she'd say, Kate Taylor would say, Gregory, let me have a prayer with you. And she'd have a prayer. She didn't, I don't know whether she ever really knew John Lennon of the Beatles, but John Lennon absolutely felt, Annie, that a telephone conversation is the most intimate form of communication of which we're ever a part. As a matter of fact, unbeknownst to Yoko Ono, it was John who was calling the 700 Club right before his untimely death for prayer. John Lennon. Kate Taylor would call and have a prayer with her. She said, I think of Kate Taylor. She said, I think of Ruth and R.L. Murphy and our Sunday school class. How many of you treasure your Sunday school class and that fellowship? She said, I think of Dan Gordon and the choir. And then she says, I see the pews. Tyson Riley, she would see the pews and she would see the faces. She says, Gregory, and again, the tears are just streaming. And she says, I give thanks that I find strength in that fellowship, Gregory, in that fellowship in Christ. We find our strength in seeing the needs of the world and addressing those needs by the power of God. We find our power in the fellowship of believers. And then lastly, we find power in the knowledge that God is with us through the Holy Spirit and will never forsake us. Now, when my sons finally graduate to the point that they get their car, their first car, Jordan hasn't gotten his yet, Mother. This is coming up at the 11-11. You just caution him. Dad hasn't forgotten him. Whenever the boys got their cars, the first thing that Dad would go and buy them was a GPS. How many of you have a GPS? Man, I'm telling you. Since I got a GPS, I don't even stop at a gas station to ask directions. I don't know that I ever would anyway, Dick. That's the old saying, right? But they get a GPS. And here's the thing about the GPS, why it's a comfort to their father. With a GPS, and if you know the local routes, you'll giggle sometimes, won't you, at the way that GPS will give you a convoluted journey, you know? But the thing is, with a GPS, you may make a wrong turn, but you will never get lost. How many of you have ever made a wrong turn with your GPS? I have. from above, there is a re-triangulation in the Trinity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit from God above. There is a recalibration of our journeys. Tyson and Riley, like me, in your spirit journey, from time to time, you may make a wrong turn. I did. It happens. But God will never forsake you. God will never forsake us from above. The journey is recalibrated, and God redirects our paths. We find that strength then in seeing the needs of the world, far and near, and addressing the needs. We find our power in the fellowship of believers in one another. We're about to have communion, communion with the Lord, but yes, communion with one another. There's strength in that fellowship. Jesus prayed for that unity. And last but not least, we find power in a God who is with us, that nothing now will separate us from His love. To ensure this, the Christ of the church paid the ultimate price. In the night in which He was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it. He gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you." Likewise, after supper, He took the cup, and again, after He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink all of this, for this is My blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." If you're a visitor this morning, I want to invite you to receive the communion. You do not have to be a member of this church, certainly. You don't have to be a United Methodist. We embrace the open table fellowship. God has created every man, woman, and child upon the face of the planet. Therefore, the invitation is to all. The proclamation of the good news is for all. So just accept that invitation. The ushers will help you down here. The form of communion, if you're a visitor, it's known as intinction. There'll be a basket of the bread, the little pieces of bread representing the body of Christ. Take a piece of that, and then dip it into the cup representing the blood of the Savior. Then take and eat, and the ushers will help you get back to your pew. So don't be anxious. Receive our hospitality and just say yes to the love of God. At this time, I want to have Brother Dave come forward. Tyler and Liz, this wonderful couple, they are going to be here. Larry, I think it's the first time for Mr. and Mrs. Yes, I believe it is. It's a real, real privilege to have them here.
there are needs in the world far and near. At this time in Christ, we serve our Lord to reach out to those needs through the morning offering.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree.
Let's pray together. God of overflowing abundance, in times of drought, you kiss the earth with rain, renewing the life of every living thing. In times of hardship and want, you restore the fortunes of your people, giving them a goodly heritage. In tribute and thanks for your many blessings, we bring you gifts of our time, talents, and treasures, that the world may be touched by your love. Amen. Thank you, Shiv. Thank you, Jeff. And there is, once again, before I lift up the pickle jar to our visitors, once again, there are the third set of stanzas on that second page there of Standing on the Promises. You will see the directorial note there again, creative license, the little semicircle with the dot, and God bless Nashville. It just takes me back home. So be ready to kind of pause for that. It might be in the intro. But before we join together for the closing hymn, Standing on the Promises, which, by the way, graduates, is a good one. We have the pickle jar here to acquaint our guests with. If you have a change offering, perhaps, the local needs just continue. And this love offering, in closing, as we have the closing hymn, you just come right on up and contribute your love offering, change offering. This will go to help, once again, not just to see the needs, but to address those needs in Christ. Now may that love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit rest, abide with us all now and forever. Amen.